this morning, because it's Lord's Supper, we come a little different formatting. And what a great opportunity to come and just to think of the cross and to think what Christ has done for you and I. I want to read to you the passage that's often read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but I want to read it to you, to start with at least, out of a paraphrase called The Message. And so just kind of follow along or listen as I read. Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me." And after supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You'll be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the time we can gather here in this place, at this moment, to worship, to together, one in Christ, united, come and share in this time of the Lord's Supper. Help us not to rush into that, but as we've come this morning with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, lifting our voices to you and God just inviting you in this place, remembering who you are, coming with thankfulness. And so these next few moments, again, Lord, may we reflect on our love for you and our worship of you, our praise and thanksgiving. Lord, I pray as we think of these words from your scripture, that again, this truth will come to bear in our lives and that we will come to this meal in holy awe. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you're jotting down a couple little notes there in your program, the first one is that we need to look at our life. We need to look at our life. You want to fill that little blank in. Verse 28 says, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." And I don't think when Paul said this, he just meant, okay, let's do that very quickly and just, you know, check it out and go. I think what Paul's intent here is that we become very serious. As we come in his presence, there's a serious heart searching in our own life. I think we need to do that. And, you know, our culture is very fast-paced compared to a lot of other cultures, and we're kind of moving and doing and thinking and multitasking and all that stuff. And sometimes we don't just come and search our hearts and just quiet ourselves before God. And yet, I think that's what he's saying, to look at our lives, says, search your heart. And not to see if you're worthy to participate. I don't think that's what he's saying here. But to determine if we're partaking in a worthy manner, for a worthy purpose. You see, no one merits the privilege of coming to the Lord's table on their own, do they? But it's by his grace that he invites us. It's like coming to that table, and Jesus has opened arms, and he says, come on. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's grace that invites us, you see. It's not that you're worthy because, you know, I've done this, or I put, you know, something in the plate, or when it went by, or I'm, you know. No, it's none of that. is falling down before him and saying, God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. And can you believe that his arms are open like that? He said, come on, come to the table. I've got it laid out for you. Come and be part of that. And I love it there in Matthew 11 when he says a verse that means a lot to a lot of us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you what? Rest. Most of you know, or some of you know, some of you don't, I guess, we're leaving for vacation tomorrow. And we're going to the beach. And you know what? Marcia said, what are we going to do? I said, nothing. Doesn't mean I said nothing back to her. I just said, we're doing nothing. You know, just rest. But isn't it neat that we can come to Jesus and find rest? Rest for our soul. When we come in his presence this morning, as he invites us to the table, he says, come, and I'll give you rest. And it's by grace that we're given this privilege of becoming his children and of having fellowship with him. It's his grace, guys, that he allows us to do that. Don't ever get that confused. That it's, well, yeah, but it's his grace, but I do a lot too. Nah, it has nothing to do with all the lot you do. I'm glad you do a lot. But it's his grace, his love, his mercy that invites you to this table. Sometimes we miss that. We don't see that. And I think when we come, we need to come with, like David. And I think David's prayer upon our heart and upon our lips would do us well this morning as we come to the table. It's found in Psalm 139, start at verse 23. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting light. Ain't that great? He says to God, God, just check me out. Search me. You know, turn the light of your word, the light of your spirit upon my heart. And God, check me out. You know? See if there's anything there, some direction. I don't know. It's a blind spot. If I knew it, it wouldn't be blind, but I'm blind to that spot. Show me, God. Show me my heart. In a moment, I'm going to have us take a moment to do that. But you know what it says there? It says, let's pray, but examine your own life. You see? Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 3. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. He says, examine your own heart. You know what's really easy to do? Examine the person sitting next to you. Well, their heart's really off in this area. I know that. Doesn't say that, does he? Or examine the person, you know, sitting back there, over here, down here, wherever. David didn't say, God, search Absalom's heart, how bad it is. He says, God, search my heart. Search me. Not the person sitting in front of me. I don't need to worry about the speck in their eye. God, I want to come to you. I want to examine my heart for what you want to do. I want to check out my walk with you, God. Search me, God. Show me if there's anything that's between me and you, God, because I don't want anything between us. So we're going to take about a minute to do that this morning. So I want you to just bow your heads, just talk with God, just quietly. Amen. That literally was a minute. I timed it. For some of you, you're just getting started. Some of you are saying, boy, that's a long time. It was 1 minute. We need to examine our life, our heart, as we come to the table. Well, the second thing we need to do is we need to look at the cross. If you're filling that in, number two, we need to look at the cross. Verse 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, the Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's a reminder of Jesus' death on the cross for your sins and mine. That's what this comes, we come to. And so this morning I want you to look at the cross. I just put that up here this morning for us. I want you just to kind of look at the cross. And let your imagination run a little bit. And I want you to think of Jesus carrying the cross up the hill to Golgotha. I want you to think about what he had gone through, the trials, the spitting on him, the hitting with the rods, the crown of thorns. And Isaiah talks about the pulling out of the beard, all of those things. I want you to think about the agony, what it must have been like when he was laying there on the cross and they stand up and drops down in. How must have torn at his flesh. And we sing the wondrous cross, and for us it is, but it was a symbol of torture and of pain. Then I want you to take the little nail we put in all your programs. Symbolic, I know that. But you have that. I want you just to think about it. The spikes that they drove in him. Take it and push the point in your hand or in your wrist where they would have jabbed him. Just the pain as they nailed him to the cross. Just to think about that. What he did for you and I. I want you this morning, let your emotions be stirred a little bit. As you think of what Jesus did, when he took that nails and they drove it through the hands, when they nailed him to the cross, you see what he did for you and I.
In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
So he says we examine our own life. We're to check out our own life, and we need to do that. But also, I think we need to think about the cross. We need to think about the spikes that pierced his hands and feet and how he willingly laid down his life for you and I, and how the blood ran. Because that's what the cup represents, the blood. The bread is the body that was broken, spilled out for you and I. And then lastly, I think we need to look to the future. Tells us in verse, if you're filling that out, look to the future. It tells us there in verse 26, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So this morning we're proclaiming his death, and we're to do this until he comes again. And he's coming again. The greatest event to come next is the moment that the heavens are rolled back. Okay, put that picture up there, Chase. You know, can you imagine what it would be like? The heavens are rolled back as a scroll, and the Lord Jesus comes down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and Christ comes back. What a day. So we do this until he returns for you and I again. But not everybody's going to come and be with him. Only those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior, who've professed him as Savior of their life, have given their lives to him. Because it's not by being worthy, by being good enough, it's through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who died on the cross for you and I. You see, that's how it works. So if you're here this morning and you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know you have, you know you're his, then when the elements come, partake of that, and I think he has his arms open and invites you to the table. But it's really designed for believers because it's to remind us, a memorial of what he's done. But if you're not a Christian and you're just kind of thinking about it, why not today invite Jesus into your heart and ask him to be your Savior and forgive you of your sin? And he will. Not because you're good enough, but because his grace and mercy and his love when he took your sin and mine on the cross and died in our place. And his arms are open. And so it reminds me of what John says in Revelation 22, come, Lord Jesus. Don't you think that'd be great, guys? I mean, I love taking communion and sharing the Lord's table, but wouldn't it be better if the Lord would come right now? Wow. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So this morning, I want you to think, okay? I want your emotions stirred. We talked about that. I want you to feel it as well, but I want you to think. I want you to look at your life and examine it, okay? I want you to do that. I want you to look to the cross, and I want you to look to the future because he is coming back. Let's pray. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning, perhaps, who's never given their life to you as Lord and Savior, that this would be the day. What a great day. That they wouldn't harden their hearts, but God, they would be tender and they would ask you to be their Savior. And then they would share in this wonderful memorial of what you did for us on the cross by shedding your blood, of giving of your body. I pray for others maybe who've kind of drifted away and just really haven't been walking close to you. That today, God, they would confess that. And again, they would take with a sense of joy and forgiveness in their heart as they celebrate your Lord's Supper. Lord, I just pray that our hearts will be tender to whatever you say, and that this will be a time of reverence, of awe, but a time of joy and thanksgiving as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.